Well, back here at the Crozier Field, Vintage High School, and Troy, you probably remember the Athlete of the Year from last year.
Boy, do I.
Austin
He's
Spinelli.
A good one. I enjoyed the heck out of coaching that young man. He's an awesome student, a great football player, tough, everything you'd want in leadership skills from the quarterback position for us.
Where is he today, do you know?
I believe he's down in Cal Poly.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and just being a student down there.
Well, it'll be soon time to select another Athlete of the Year. We're nearing the end of the school year. It'll be coming up very quickly. In the meantime, we're coming up on the fourth inning here, and it is Haley Jarita fouling the pitch to the backstop. Strikeout victim back in the second inning. Abby Arata on deck to be followed by Grace Guzman for Napa. Guzman's been on base twice and has scored twice. Safe on an error, then had a double. So the batter, Jarita, had gone down the third baseline to talk with Ron Walston. Passed along some bit of hopeful information.
That's right. Get a base hit, kid.
That's what the information was. Here's the pitch. It's over for a called strike two. Jarita steps out of the box, swings the bat a few times. Came into the game hitting at 279. Just a junior, played basketball team, good athlete, good shortstop for the team. She watches the pitch low and a little outside. 4-3 is our score. Vintage is in the lead. We're on the fourth inning of the game. Napa needs to win if they're going to have a good shot at getting into the playoffs, where they are the defending section champions. Pitch just missed to Jarita. Napa went into the section tournament last year and was able to go all the way through and came back with the championship.
What a ride that was.
I'll tell you.
They caught fire. They did a really nice job of pitching, hitting, playing defense.
Well, Jarita takes strike three. There's the called strike. Coming up to the plate, Abby Arata lined out to the second baseman to end the second inning when the Indians went down 1-2-3 in that inning. One down here in the top half of the fourth inning. Vintage leading Napa in the big game softball, 4-3. Sierra Yeager delivers and a strike called. Sierra Crocker, her catcher, doing a nice job handling the ball.
Pitcher's best friend is getting ahead in the count, and Sierra hit her spot right there on the outside part of the corner and is ahead of the count 0-1 now.
The ball is hit towards the shortstop and right into her glove for the second out. A little pop there to the shortstop, Cassidy Schweizer. So it's good for Vintage to get those first two batters because now the top of the lineup. And as you said, Guzman, Bowers, Mott, and O'Donnell, they can hit the ball.
Yeah, they've like I said earlier, they've really been the spark plug of the lineup up top there. And you know, that's why the coach puts him up there, to be that person.
There's a hit going out into right field by Guzman. She holds at first base. That was the eighth hit in the game for Napa High. Vintage, on the other hand, has had six hits in the contest and four runs. That came with two down, though, here in the fourth inning. But it brings up Brianna Bowers. Had trouble with that high fly ball to left field off the bat of Jordan Allen. There's the attempted steal and sliding in head first again to second base is Guzman. She is safe.
Fourth inning, Iron. Goose's uniform is absolutely tattered mess right now. That tells you that a couple things. She plays hard and she's been on base, and those are both great things.
And head first slides. Wow. Anyway. That puts the potential tying run in scoring position at second, and the ball is hit toward left field. Left fielder coming in, getting under it, and Brad is there. She makes the put out, and Sierra Yeager gets out of trouble here in the fourth inning. So we go into the bottom of the fourth, and Vintage will have their number nine hitter. Then the top of the order coming up, and the Crushers have the lead at 4-3. Well, Troy Mott, as you mentioned, you talk out the records when these two teams played, as evident by the first time these two teams played. It was Napa winning 13-3 with the 10-run rule, the situation on that prevailing. And the next time they play will be at Kiwanis Park at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's a great community event. You know, a lot of people come out there. That outfield grass is packed with parents and relatives and friends and student body.
You know, that's
a night game.
It's also the same time that Napa and Vintage baseball play up at Cleve Borman Field in Yountville. Here comes the pitch to the plate. Adams taken for a strike. This is Allie Warren leading off, number eight or ninth hitter in the Vintage batting order. Vintage ahead 4-3 here in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Selfo on deck. The pitch way up high from Walston. Walston in her second inning of work. Jenna Baker on the mound for the first couple innings. Walston toes the rubber. It's O'Donnell gives her the sign and the pitch. Attempted bunt that goes foul. Allie Warren, second baseman, is a junior at Vintage High. The Chrysers, in addition to Kat Guidry, their head coach, and Charlie Carboni, Carrie Sedgley is another one that helps out quite a bit over there. Former athlete at Vintage High. There's a swing and a miss, and Warren is down on strikes.
Nice pitch by Walston right there. Knee level, outside part of the plate. A little out front by the hitter, but a really nice spot right there by the pitcher, Kenny Walston.
Yeah, it's a consecutive strikeout. So she struck out Perez to end the third inning, and she strikes out Warren to start this bottom half of the fourth inning, and bringing Selfo to the plate for the Crushers, who lead 4-3 in the game. The pitch is up high. Vintage Crushers, the home team. Gracie Selfo, the batter, a left-handed batter, facing Walston, a right-handed pitcher who delivers and taken for a strike, even though Selfo started to run down the line at first. He was just taking all the way. Evens the count, 1-1 to Gracie Selfo, and as she attempts the bunt and fouls the ball at home plate. So I watch that first baseman and wonder how Peyton can play these, because with as much bunting as is done, you have to play inside.
You do. You got to be quick nope. reactions at first and third base in this game.
And no grass on the infield.
Yeah. They come screaming at you once in a while.
The ball is hit foul out of play.
Gracie right now is trying to do some slap, run up on the ball and hit the ball hard on the ground and use her speed to try and beat out a ground ball at first base, trying to protect with two strikes.
She's the designated person in this contest, and she pops the ball up to the shortstop. Getting under it is Jarita, and she'll make the put out for the second out. And so Selfo goes 0-3. That'll bring up Jordan Allen, who's been up twice, has scored twice with two triples.
Yeah. Two really good at-bats by Jordan. Now, the first one, she got eight from the sun, but she struck the ball hard, and second bat, she crushed the ball hard on the ground past Peyton Mott at first base.
And she's just a freshman. She runs toward first and takes the pitch. Well, that's where the left-hander has the advantage.
Yeah, especially a slap hitter. You know, you get the ball, hit the ball on the ground and try and beat. If you make any sort of mistake on the infield, you're going to be safe with the kind of speed that some of these girls have.
Again, she starts down the first baseline, but is taking all the way, and it's ball two. 2-0 to Jordan Allen, the freshman center fielder for the Vintage Crushers, who lead 4-3 in the game. Now, there's a good pitch coming from Kimmy Walston for a strike. Batter flinch on that play because it was the fast one right down the middle. The 2-1 offering, and that's in the dirt. Count goes 3-1. They don't want to give Allen something too good to look at, since she has had those two triples today and has scored two of the four runs for the Crushers.
Yeah, you don't want to walk her either, because she's got the speed to turn a walk into a double.
Two down, and the pitch. She takes ball four. Well, she's down at first base.
We're going to look for her to steal at some point in this at bat and get her in scoring position for Morgan to drive her in.
Katie O'Donnell behind the plate at the catcher position for Napa is alert to that too. So we'll see what Walston come up with here, as Hernandez is the batter, and the pitch down low. The runner did not go. Morgan Hernandez had a booming home run back in the first inning, drove in two runs, flied out to the center fielder back in the third inning. Two down and a runner at first, and takes the pitch for a strike. Runner stays at first base. Jordan Allen, the runner there.
Notice Morgan taking pitches till she gets a strike and giving Jordan an opportunity to maybe try and steal a bag for her.
Yeah, but you got to watch out for Katie O'Donnell behind the plate. She's handling that nicely. And they take strike two. Morgan Hernandez, senior first baseman, heading for Long Island Post. Have to find out where the first baseman for Napa's heading. Here comes the pitch. Ball's low. There goes the runner. There goes the throw. Sliding in safely is Jordan Allen. So she's a potential scoring runner that would put Vintage up by a couple runs here. We're in the fourth inning. Scheduled seven-inning contest here at Chrysler Field. And the home team, Vintage, is leading it. And the pitcher for Napa, Kimmy Walston, rocks into motion. There's the pitch. The ball is hit foul by Hernandez. Well, she doesn't need a home run this time. She could get a hit and probably about any kind of hit except a bunt. Jordan Allen could score.
Absolutely. Nice to have the speed out at second base.
Ball leaves the pitcher's hand, she is off that bag. And the ball is hit out into right field, a base hit. Rounding third is Allen.
Nice.
Here comes the throw to first. They got her at first. No, they said safe.
Oh.
Boy, that's one of those you want an instant replay on. But the runner stopped at third on the play. They got the ball in real quickly there. Abby Arata from right field. And Ron Walston, the coach for Napa, is coming out talking to the base umpire. The base umpire is going to confer with the home plate umpire. So the umpires are having a meeting halfway between home plate and first base. In the meantime, Coach Walston has his hands on his hips, standing just adjacent to the first base bag, and standing right on the bag there is Morgan Hernandez. And she is called safe for a base hit.
Yeah, but saying that Peyton Mott came off the bag early right there. I think Ron is thinking differently.
Yeah, well.
Nice play by Arata.
It was one of those bang-bang plays. It was a close play either way. All right, well, the runners on the corners now is Sierra Crocker is the batter. As Vintage could use some insurance now, they lead 4-3, and the pitch is up high. Crocker walked in the first inning, had an RBI double in the third inning. She is batting in the cleanup spot, the number four slot for the Crushers today. And the pitch missed outside for ball two. The on-deck batter, Swizer, has been up twice and has struck out twice, so they may try to pitch around Crocker with a base open here. And Vintage in the lead. The ball is hit foul. That third baseman started to give pursuit. Almost ran into Jordan Allen there, who was the base runner at third base. So with two outs, even on a fly ball or anything, the runners will be off. Ron Walston is asking for a timeout. And he's saying something to home plate umpire.
Yeah, I think he's checking to see if there was some contact there with the third base runner, Jordan Allen, and McKenna Walls. And I think he's checking to see if there's a possibility of an interference.
Yeah, there was some little bit of contact. I noticed that down the third baseline. It indicated that Walls almost ran into the runner Allen down there as Allen was going back to the bag. Okay, well, here we go now. Let's see what happens to the batter, Crocker, as the pitch comes in, down a little low. I think that's 3-1 now with Crocker at the plate and Swizer on deck. It's not all that bad to walk Crocker. She had that booming double and drove in a run back in the third inning. Here's the pitch, and the ball is hit to left field. That'll be a hit. Coming in from third base is Allen. She is scoring, and going down to second base is Morgan Hernandez will be in there safe, and Sierra Crocker gets an RBI single here in the fourth inning, driving in the fifth Crusher run in the game, and the Vintage Crushers have taken a 5-3 lead in the bottom half of the fourth inning.
Nice day for Sierra. Three hits, I think three RBIs now for the day. That one was out a little bit out on the end of the bat, but it placed it nice into the 5-6 hole between the shortstop and third baseman for an RBI.
Swizer up twice, struck out twice. Takes ball one down a little low. Well, we have the runner Gomez again over at first base. Emily's made her third appearance in this game.
Getting her exercise out.
Yeah,
there.
She is. Here comes the pitch. Ball is hit in the air in the infield. Shortstop calling for it, under it, and Jarita makes the put out to retire the sides as Swizer pops up. In the inning, though, one run. There were two hits and a walk in the inning, and we go to the fifth inning. It'll be the 3, 4, and 5 hitters coming up for the Napa Indians, now trailing 5-3 in the big game. Well, we're back here at Crescer Field on KVON 1440, Napa, California, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Troy Mutt, kind enough to sit in with us. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we have the fifth inning coming up as this game's moving right along.
Yep, top of the fifth, 5-3. Pretty exciting ball game so far, and I would expect it to be even more exciting as we move forward here for the last part of the game.
Peyton Mott leading off. Does she have any idea where she would like to go next year?
Yeah, there's some things going on. She's got to make a decision here in the next couple of weeks, and I think that we'll know more in the next couple of weeks.
On the mound is Yeager in her first offering, and it's taken for a strike by Mott. Mott, the batter, called out on strikes in the first, had a bunt single in the third inning. O'Donnell on deck, who's had a pair of RBIs in the game, two of the three for Napa High. Ball is hit foul down the third base, or third baseline, as the coach Ron Walston kind of stuck his foot out there. I don't want to, if I'm coaching.
I think it's a veiled attempt by the coaches out there. I don't think anybody wants to get hit with
They just couldn't reach it. But well, we have an 0-2 count now to Peyton Mott. Came into the game batting 5-10. She shows bunt, but at 0-2 she's not going to be bunting. The ball is hit to the second baseman on the line, and boy, Mott is out. Boy,
nice hit. That ball came screaming off the bat and right at a perfect positioning by the second baseman. Yeah. She didn't have to move much for that.
Allie Warren just played that perfectly, went right into her glove. Well, the team batting average for Napa High coming into this game was .451. And their on-base percentage was .515.
Yeah, it's a good hitting group through the lineup, 1-9. And really, that's even more impressive outing right now by Sierra Yeager and the things that she's keeping them off balance, moving the ball up and down, moving it in and out, changing speeds. And there's been some hard-hit balls, but not too many off of her today.
Katie O'Donnell at the plate has had two hits. Takes the pitch outside. Katie had an RBI single in the first inning, had an RBI single in the third inning, was thrown out at home trying to score back in the first inning on a good play by the Crushers. O'Donnell waits, Sierra Yeager pitches, and she takes the pitch outside for a ball. Lehman is on deck. Lindsay's sister, we indicated earlier, at played last year. Both of them had two Lehmans on the team then. We're set now with Yeager's next offering is called a strike, and O'Donnell thought she was on her way down to first base. The other Lehman was Shelby. She played second base.
Yeah, Shelby played second base for last year's team. Lindsay was injured last year with a shoulder injury.
Ball hit down to the second baseman. Tried to play it on the hop. Could not do so. It bounds away from her. So O'Donnell's going to be safe on an error by the second baseman. This is right after she took that line drive.
Yeah.
It was a bad hop. It was an in-between hop. It was not an easy play, but it was right to her.
She tried to play it correctly. She tried to come through the ball, but that's a tough play right there. Ball's hit hard. It took two big hops on her. And got a glove on it, and I guess, you know, she'd probably tell you she should have had it, but it's a tough play for anybody.
One out, one on. Lehman at the plate, a junior, batting .574. Watches the pitch on the outside corner for a called strike. 5-3, Vintage is leading. Napa High has a runner at first base with one out here in the top half of the fifth inning. The Crusher pitcher, Sierra Yeager, delivers, and the ball gets by the catcher, and that will allow the runner, O'Donnell, to reach second base. You think in scoring position, but the way that the players have been firing that ball around, they don't want to take a chance from third base, as runs are very important in this game. Vinny's leading 5-3 here in the fifth inning. Yeager's delivery, and it gets by the catcher again, and that will allow O'Donnell to go down to third base. Only one out. Napa down by two runs, though. So Vintage probably will not pay that much attention to the runner at third. They want to get out of this half inning with the lead. Lehman at the plate watches a strike. On deck is Kimmy Walston. Started out as the designated person and came in to pitch in the third inning. We have the Sierra Yeager and Sierra Crocker combination here on the batteries for Vintage. The ball is hit toward left field. Left fielder going back, sticks the glove up, makes the catch, and quickly returned it to the infield, and that held O'Donnell up at third base. So it is a fly out and no sacrifice fly.
Yeah, a mistake right there by, that's actually Drew Somogyi pinch running. The ball's in the air with less than two outs. Your first move has got to be back to the bag to tag up. And okay. Unfortunately, she didn't tag up, and by the time she did, it was too late.
Yeah, nice job by Brandt out in left field, battling the sun to make that put out. Walston hits the ball into left field. That will be a base hit, and scoring the fourth run for Napa as the RBI single by Walston, her second hit in the ball game, makes it a 5-4 Vintage lead.
Big hit right there by Kimmy Walston.
Yep.
Really struck the ball hard through the 5-6 hole and really kind of picked up the bad base running that Somogyi had prior to that. And so they able to score the run despite the mistake, and she's having quite a day.
The Sierra is having quite a day. The battery, Sierra Yeager on the mound, Sierra Crocker behind the plate, and the batter is McKenna Walls. Takes the first pitch, ball one. Walls is in the number seven spot in the batting order today, and Haley Jarita is on deck in the number eight slot. One run in, runner at first base representing the tying run, and the batter held up just in time. That was called ball two. McKenna started the day batting at 390. It's grounded out to the second baseman and popped up to the catcher. Her two previous appearances, pitch down a little low. Well, the 3-0 count, you think she would have the take sign on. I don't know if it becomes automatic at Napa High.
No, I think it's just a coach's decision. If you got a hot hitter up there or you got a runner in scoring position, mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll give them the green light. Totally up to the third base coach what they're going to do here.
Here's the next pitch. It's called strike one.
Definitely had the take sign on.
Yeah, she was ready to go down to first base. There are two outs. And the runner over there is, she may have a different.
Mila runner. Valentine looks like she's running for yeah. Kimmy Walston as a courtesy runner for the pitcher.
The pitch, and that just missed for ball four. Yeah, the runner is Mila Valentine, who is just a sophomore. She goes down to second base where she could score the tying run if they get a hit. Walls, who walks, is at first base. Two on, two out, one run in. It's 5-4 Vintage, and Jarita hits the ball down to the shortstop, makes a nice play over to third, and throws it wild, and the runners are going to be safe on the air by the shortstop, as Schweitzer had the fielder's choice, and the runner picked going down from second to third on a fourth.
I don't know, Ira. I think that was a pretty good throw. I think that ball probably should have been caught by the third baseman. If I'm scoring that, okay. I'm going to give that error to the third baseman.
Okay,
Schweitzer
E5.
Did.
All right.
She played it really well. She went to her backhand, and that was the only play she had, and she threw a nice ball to the third baseman who, you know, and it happens, physical mistake. She just dropped it. And it's hard with a runner coming in hard on you like that.
Got it. So that loads the bases. Napa down by one run, but they've got the bases loaded here in the fifth inning with two outs. And Abby Arata, who is 0 for 2, is at the plate. And the first of the pitch to her, and the ball is hit foul down the right side of the diamond for strike two. Abby Arata, a sophomore. She is one of two sophomores to get the start today on the team. The sophomore on the mound is Sierra Yeager for the Vintage Crushers. A lot of underclassmen in the ball game today. And here's the pitch, and the ball is hit again foul down the right field line this time.
It's a big at-bat in the ball game right now with two outs and bases
huge
loaded,
with the bases loaded. Four. Down by a run, fifth inning.
0-2 count. The batter's going to try and be short and put the ball in play. The pitcher's definitely trying for a strikeout and trying to get the hitter to hit her pitch right now.
She is the seventh batter to come to the plate for Napa High here in the fifth inning. And here's the two-strike delivery. The ball is hit down to the second baseman, fielded cleanly, underhands it over to first for the out. And Napa left the bases loaded. They have left eight runners stranded as we go to the bottom half of the fifth inning. Brandt, Groves, and Perez scheduled up for Vintage, leading the game here 5-4. And they're in the new office now. They shifted not too far away, a couple blocks from where they were. Well, Troy, tell us a bit about what happened this summer with your daughter. She was, or this past summer, she was doing some traveling. How far away did that traveling team go?
Oh, boy, we went all the way to, we played in the PGF Championship, and it's a long haul to get there. Some of the best softball teams in the nation, and our team, the Bat Busters, coached by Todd Clark, based out of the Modesto area. They went all the way to the championship. Unfortunately, lost a great ball game, 5-4 on a walk-off double.
Oh boy!
They played on TV, and it was a great experience, and it was really fun. But it was a long summer for all of us.
Taylor Brandt, who has an RBI single to her credit, hitting to a fielder's choice, so she's 1-for-2. Leads it off. Mo Groves is on deck, and the pitch from Walston is up a little high. 5-4 is our score here in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Vintage has the lead, and the Vintage coach, Kat Guidry, is way out of her coaching box over by the dugout. Swing at a miss by Taylor Brandt. Plays left field defensively.
Done a nice job out there with that sun in her face. She's made that some nice catches out there.
This time
nice
of day, home. Oh, that is a tough field. Rocking into motion is Walston. The ball is hit foul, go out of play, and evens the count now. Two balls, two strikes. Taylor Brandt, the batter, with Groves and then Perez, the scheduled hitters here in the home half of the fifth inning at the Crusher Field in Napa, as the ball is popped up on the left side of the infield, third baseman in foul territory under it, and it's McKinnon Walls making the put out. One up and one down here in the bottom of the fifth inning.
That was a great pitch sequence by Kenny Walson. She really kept the ball low that at bat and forced Taylor to try and kind of golf the ball with two strikes to put it in play. And unfortunately for Taylor, she got under it, and a nice, easy pop-up for McKenna Walls.
Well, Vintage has left at least one runner stranded in each inning, and there the ball is out into center field for a base hit by Mo Groves. That's her second hit in the game. She is 2-for-2 and a walk.
Yeah, ball wasn't hit hard, but it was placed extremely well for her.
Has a big smile, even though she has that batting helmet on. You can see a huge smile as she's down there talking with Charlie Carboni at first base. 5-4 the score. Vintage has the lead. Perez has the bat. He's batting on the right side. Twice struck out, takes up high for ball one. Perez plays third base. Right-hander facing right-hander, Kimmy Walston. In relief of Jenna Baker, who went the first two innings. Ball is hit toward right field. The right fielder coming over. She's not going to get there. It hits in front of her. And the throw down to second, though, forces the runner there as Groves is forced out. So Perez, while she is safe at first base, is there by virtue of the fielder's choice.
Nice play by Abby Arata right there.
Yeah.
Nice strong throw. The first baseman had to hold up. The ball was hit as a blooper, and so she had to hold up to see if the ball was caught, and that gave Abby an opportunity to make that nice throw to second.
So that was the second out. That was a big play, and the batter now is Allie Warren. That hit, by the way, for the Crushers when Groves was up there, was their ninth hit in the game. They've got five runs on nine hits. Here comes the pitch in, and the ball's hit foul out of play. Crushers committed three errors in the game. Napa High has yet to commit an error. 5-4, Vintage in the lead. Warren at the plate and hits the ball foul. Goes over the fence down the left field line. New ball put into play. Top of the lineup on deck for the Vintage Crushers. Selfo, who's 0 for 3. And then you've got Allen, who is 2 for 2 in a walk and has scored three of their five runs. Here's the pitch, high and away. Allie Warren, the batter, bunted the ball to the third baseman, who fired it to the second baseman covering the bag at first for the out in the second inning, and struck out in the fourth inning, leading off that fourth inning. And the pitch down a little low. Allie Warren at the plate with two down, a runner at first base. That's Perez. Jacqueline takes her time there as she is going to see, not probably a stealing threat. Pitch is taken for a ball. But after the pitch leaves the hand of Walston, Perez will come off that bag, get a little bit of a head start. Here is the windup and the pitch. The ball is popped up on the infield. Pitcher calling for it. First baseman calling for it. And the first baseman comes in, and the ball hits off of her glove, and the runners are advancing. And Warren was off and running. She goes all the way down to second base, and Perez stopped at third base. That was it depends on what the next batter does, but that could be a huge break.
Absolutely, that should have been caught, and there's some miscommunication going on, and I don't know who was calling for it, but two girls bumping in, Mott and Walston bumping into each other, and when there's contact there, then the ball goes off the glove.
Yep.
So usually your infielder wants to take charge there, and your pitcher wants to get out of the way by rule, but Kimmy also has a lot of experience in the infield and probably felt like that she could have handled that ball.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on what Selfo does. She hits the ball over the third baseman head, fielded by the shortstop, and she throws the ball wildly into the dugout area and going down to second base safely. And third base now coming home. Here comes the throw to home. There's the slide. There's the tag. Out at home. Well, Perez had scored. Warren, though, was thrown out as she was coming in. And Selfo had gone all the way down to second base safe on the error, but the Crushers trying to get one more run there. They did get one run, but they were trying for two, but that puts them up 6-4 now here as we go into the sixth inning. But looking at it, Troy, the top of the lineup coming up for Napa High that has been productive.
Yep.
Our score after five complete is the Vintage Crushers of Napa 6 and the Napa High Indians 4. We have Oakland A's baseball coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. The A's open a series at home against the Boston Red Sox, and the Red Sox have been red hot. They've been playing really good baseball.
Yeah, as have the A's. They swept the White Sox just recently and had a real long 14-inning win.
Yeah, that was some game.
So both teams coming in hot.
So here we go. It's a sixth inning and a 6-4 Vintage lead, and the leadoff batter Guzman takes ball one. Guzman has been up three times, been on all three times, although one of them was getting on by virtue of an error. She's had two hits, two for three, scored two runs, and Guzman hits the ball slowly down the first baseline foul. Gracie, with a scholarship to the University of Michigan. In fact, she had that last year as a freshman.
I actually think she verbaled to Michigan before she even reached high school. But that tells you what kind of a ball player she really is.
What's your brother's name? David or something? It's a real
David
good
is the father.
Oh, Dave. And then her brother is a real good tennis player. So here's the pitch, and the ball is hit toward left field. Left fielder coming in, getting under it, makes the put out. Nice job by Taylor Brandt out there in left field. She has to battle the sun. She has those sunglasses pulled down, and Guzman flies out to left fielder Taylor Brandt for the first out here in the sixth inning. Bauer's up. She's had a hit, popped up to the shortstop and flied out to the left fielder and two other at bats. And she bunts the ball back to the pitcher, pitches up over to first, not in time. That was speed that Brianna Bowers turned on there to get that bunt single. So one on, one out, trailing by two runs now here in the sixth inning. Vintage leading at 6-4. Peyton Mott coming in, see if she can atone for that little mix-up there on the pop-up. She's had a hit, lined out to the second baseman last time up, and the pitch to her. She takes ball one. One down, Bowers, the base runner, has speed at first base. Mott's started the day at batting over 500. Right-hander. She shows bunt, but let's see what she does. She can pull that back in a hurry, and she does, and takes the pitch. And there goes the throw down to the second baseman. There's a head-first slide, and Bowers is in safely at second base. Well, I tell you, once the gals get on the top of that lineup, they've got the speed that'll get them to second.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things that Peyton Mott was waiting for, to get Bowers into scoring position.
Exactly.
Even though they're down by two runs, Mott waits at the plate, and the pitch to her, taken for ball three. So Sierra Yeager, the sophomore southpaw, on the mound, falling behind now. 3-0 to Peyton Mott, first baseman. One out, one on, and the pitch is over for a strike. Peyton knew it. She made no effort as far as indicating to go to first base. So I had the take sign on. And this is a big pitch now coming at 3-1 as Yeager has to come in with it or get the tying run on base. But she hits the ball towards center field. Center fielder going over. And the left fielder comes over and makes the grab. The runner tagged up at second base, and Bowers advances on to third base. But Mott, and there she comes home. There's the throw. There's the tag. And she is out at home. What turns into be a double play then as Bowers tried to score after Mott had flied out to the left fielder, but ball started towards center field, and the left fielder covered a lot of territory over there to make the out, and Bowers, who had stolen second and got down to third base, elected to try to get into home and was thrown out there. So no runs and one hit and nobody left on there in the sixth inning. Napa will have one more at bat. We go into the bottom half of the sixth inning. The number two, three, and four hitters coming up for the Vintage Crushers, leading it 6-4. Well, Troy Mott said it well when he said, you don't have to worry about the statistics when it's big game time. And that's true not only in softball, but as you well know, in football and other sports as well.
Yeah, I've seen it a lot. You know, you can throw out the records in this game. And I think sometimes people try and do too much, or and the big crowd and things like that kind of either pump you up or get you overexcited as an athlete. And so sometimes this happens where, you know, the team that you don't expect to win and ends up, you know, right now Vintage on top at the bottom of the sixth, and they look like they got everything going their way.
And it's Jordan Allen, who has a pair of triples and a walk and has scored three times, three of the six runs, as she's a left-handed batter stepping in here on the big game, and she takes a strike. Well, when you were the varsity coach in football for the big game, you never lost to Vintage.
No, 11 really fun wins, Ira. And we had a good run there, and it was a lot of fun.
Ball is hit out of center field. Another hit for Jordan Allen. She rounds first base. Guzman comes up with the ball out in center field, and Jordan Allen's going to hold on at first. That is four straight times that she has been on base, and that's the leadoff batter here in the sixth. Vintage would like to pad their lead somewhat going into the last inning, the seventh inning. And here's Hernandez, who has a two-run homer. Hits the ball to the second baseman. Her play is going to be at first. Sliding in safely at second is Jordan Allen. Hernandez is out 4-3 for the first out here in the bottom half of the sixth inning, bringing Sierra Crocker to the plate. They haven't gotten her out yet. She has had two hits, has RBIs, and has walked in the other at-bat. Crocker does a nice job behind the plate as the catcher. Vinny's has had good catchers, too, in the past.
Yep.
Good pitchers, good catchers. Sierra, right-hander. Walston on the mound, right-hander. And the first delivery, the ball is hit down the left field line. It's foul by about 2 feet down that left field line. Otherwise, we could have had a 7-4 score.
Oh, yeah. The Napa caught a break right there. That ball was hit really hard. Just literally about a foot foul, and that's going to score Jordan Allen. And really, Napa's had no answer for either Sierra or Jordan today. They've just been hitting the ball hard on base all day, driving in runs, and really carried the offense for Vintage today.
Crocker took the next pitch for ball one, so the count is even now at 1-1. Swizer on deck for the Crushers. Ball hit foul. Right over by our booth. So that makes it one ball, two strikes. One out, runner at second base in the person of the freshman, Jordan Allen. Vintage is leading 6-4 here in the sixth inning. Ball taken down low. Again, Allen would probably score on a hit to the outfield.
Yeah, I would imagine with her speed, she'll have the green light heading around third on a base hit.
She's at second base now. Crocker at the plate, takes up high. Well, the count goes full to Sierra Crocker. Walked in the first, RBI double in the third, RBI single in the fourth. She's up here at the sixth, and the ball is hit back to the pitcher. She's grabbed it, going to play to third base. There's the tag, and they missed the tag.
Yeah, the ball popped out of Walls' glove.
Oh, my gosh.
And again, Allen's speed put a lot of pressure on the defense right there. Routine play.
I thought they had her out, but the ball, as you said, popped out. And so both runners are safe, and that's another error for Napa High. And we've got that courtesy runner, Emily Gomez, making her fourth appearance in this game. We're getting to see Emily regularly here.
Yep.
And that brings Swizer to the plate, the shortstop. She's a senior, one of three seniors in the starting lineup for the Crushers. Swings and fouls it to the backstop. Just nicked the ball a little bit.
That's a great opportunity for Vintage to add on right here with the bottom, top of the seventh coming up. As a coach, you always would love to have an insurance run or two, and they're really primed right now with runners on first and third and one out to get themselves at least one insurance run.
They're on the corners here. Leading at 6-4, the ball is hit toward the infield, up in the air. The fielder coming in, lets a drop, and coming in from third base, here comes the throw, and she missed the home plate, goes back, tags it as the ball gets by the catcher. Going into third base is Crocker standing up there, and that will go as a base hit. The center fielder, or left fielder rather, Bowers, had a little trouble reading that ball because it was a sun-hit ball, and the runner then, Allen, scored from third base, the seventh run for the Crushers. And here in the sixth inning, they have built a three-run lead with one inning to go.
Yeah, great job by Walson getting a pop-up right there. It's exactly what you wanted from a pitcher's perspective. And then, unfortunately, whether the sun or miscommunication, the ball didn't get caught and a run because of it, and it's exactly what Vintage wanted with that, getting that insurance run they needed.
Susanna Carboni goes down as a courtesy runner at first base, says something to her dad, who is coaching down the first baseline. Kat Guidry, coaching down the third baseline, has gone over and says something See, that is Emily Gomez there at third there, who is running for Crocker. So there's still just one out and one run in, and runners on the corners, and the pitch is taken for ball one to Taylor Brandt. Safe on the fielder's choice that ended the first inning. Then she had a base hit and an RBI in the third inning and popped up to the third baseman in the fifth inning. She is 1-for-3. Her team leads it 7-4 now. Takes ball two, high and away. The runners, Emily Gomez at third base, Susanna Carboni at first base. One run in here in the sixth, and the pitch down a little low. On the mound is Kimmy Walston. Jenna Baker started and worked the first two innings of the game. Back on the mound, Walston trying to come in with the next delivery, and the ball is hit down the second base. Oh, nice stop. Over to second for one. Over to first, not in time, but coming in from third base to score the second run of the inning is Emily Gomez, making it 8-4. As Schweizer was erased on the force out. Brandt safe on the fielder's choice. And Mo Groves at the plate, a sophomore. And the first pitch to Mo, hit the foul. Right over toward the backstop area.
Towards you and I there. We better get one of those coaches' helmets.
Yeah, we can't. Fortunately, we have the screen in front of it. Groves has had two hits and a walk. They have not been able to retire her today. She's up there with a runner at first base and swings and misses. Just a sophomore, Morgan Groves, the right fielder, walked in the second, base hit in the third, and a base hit in the fifth. Two down, two runs in here in the inning. It's 8-4 now, Vintage in the lead. The bottom of the sixth inning. And the pitch, the ball is popped foul, out of play. Vintage will have the top of the seventh to get back in the game. A loss here would be very costly as far as Napa's hopes for an MEL championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just a championship, but a playoff berth.
Yeah, getting back to defend their section championship. Ball is hit foul again, out of play over the backstop. So it is Groves fouling off the pitches. Two runs in, two outs, one runner on. Here is the motion, and the ball's hit out in left field, a base hit. Rounding second and holding on there will be Brandt. And with her third hit, and getting it down to third base, I was marking on my score sheet, and while I was doing that, Brandt got down to third.
Yeah, great hustle on her part. The ball was hit hard, and what she did is she saw the ball get bobbled out in left field, and heads up running on her part to round second, read the play that was in front of her, and take that extra base.
So that advances the runners, Brandt to third, and Mo Groves to second. Mo 3-for-3 and a walk. She's been on base all four times that she's been up there. Vintage already with a four-run lead here in the bottom half of the sixth inning, 8-4 score. Umpire gone over to the Vintage dugout saying something to Kat Guidry and the Crushers over there.
Yeah, I think that Napa made a position change. They brought Mila Valentine in to play third base for McKenna Walls, and he was over there checking with the scorekeeper to make sure they got it.
Hey, Valentine was in earlier as a courtesy runner. So we're seeing her for the second time in the game. And there was a strike to Perez. Perez is 0-for-3 in the game and hits the ball out of play. That puts Walston out in front at 0-2 on the batter, Jacqueline Perez, senior. She did get on base by a fielder's choice in the fifth inning and did score a run in that inning. Watches the ball away. 1-2 the count, with the number 9 hitter, Allie Warren, on deck. Two outs here in the home half of the sixth inning. Ball is hit foul again to the backstop. The homestanding Vinnie's Crushers leading crosstown rival Napa High 8-4 here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Napa won the first meeting of these two teams 13-3 with the 10-run rule prevailing in that. Here the pitch, watches it down low. Evens the count now, 2-2. The runners, Brandt at third base, Groves at second base with two down. So they'll be off and running on a fly ball or a ball hit to the infield, wherever. Last year, Napa ended the vintage long winning streak over in Napa on May the 8th, winning 4-1. And since then, Napa's tried to put together a winning streak against vintage. Here's the pitch. Up high, the count goes full. Badwin now would load the bases and bring up the number 9 hitter in the order. This is the 7th batter to come to the plate here in the 6th inning. Two have scored, and the ball is hit out of play, foul ball again. So there have been three hits in the inning. It's been an error. Right now, two runners are on, and the pitch taken by a strike 3, and Perez is called out on strikes 2. End the inning, but another good inning for the Crushers, picking up 2 insurance runs. Last chance for Napa. They'll have the number 4 hitter, O'Donnell, and then Lehman and Walston coming up, trailing Vintage going into the 7th, 8-4. Well, we're happy to have Troy Mott with us today. I'm Ira C. Smith as we move into the 7th inning of the contest. Last chance for Napa High, trailing by 4. Then we have Oakland A's baseball coming up tonight, 7:05 the first pitch. Pomerantz pitching for the Red Sox, and Graveman going again for the A's, still looking for that first win. Tomorrow night, it'll be a 6:05 first pitch. That'll be Manaea getting the start for the A's against Sale for the Red Sox. That'll also be on KVON. Then Sunday, we've got Warriors basketball on the air as they try to sweep the series at San Antonio. So a lot of sports coming your way on KVON. Right now, Napa hope they can get some runners on base. Katie O'Donnell started the day batting at 417, and the first pitch to her is hit foul over by Ron Walston.
Yeah, Napa's going to have to do something special here this inning with this at bat to possibly tie or go ahead. 4 runs is a lot to yep. get, but it's certainly not insurmountable. But the way Sierra has been pitching, it's going to be a tough task for them.
And Sierra Yeager is just a sophomore working against Katie O'Donnell, and the ball hitter. That's the first hit batsman that we've had in the ball game. So that is not the way you want to start the 7th inning if you have a 4-run lead by giving a free pass.
You really don't want to get that lead runner on. You know, a lot of times this in the last inning when you're leading, that first out is the hardest out a lot of times, you know.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to try and get that first out for Vintage.
Lehman at the plate watches a called strike. She is 1-for-3, had a hit in the first inning, struck out in the third, flied out to the left fielder in the 5th. 1-for-3 on the day. Her team trailing 8-4 here in the inning. Swing and a miss. We're in the final inning here, the 7th inning. Well, I remember when John O'Connor was coaching Napa High, too. Boy, what a nice job he did. And then Karen Yoder didn't miss a stride when she took over. Just
both really good people and really good softball coaches.
Tammy Mansway took them to the section championship last year.
Yep, great run. She did a great job with the girls, and obviously it's tough to win a league championship as a coach, let alone a section championship.
The league has got some good teams in it. Here comes the pitch outside, and just missed. Count goes even now. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Lehman at the plate, Walston on deck, and they hope to be followed by Walls, Jarita, Arata, Guzman. They want to put together a rally here in the 7th, down by 4 runs. Ball is hit down the right field line, maybe foul, and coming in, did they make the put out? I was blocked out.
I can't see from this area. It looks like they did, and I don't know who caught it. It looked like
Well, it'd have to be Mo Groves that would have come
to
in.
To right field.
Yeah, she caught the ball, so fly it out into foul territory. Lehman is the first out here in the seventh inning. Two to go.
Yeah, if you're vintage, you like to get that first out under your belt, and I think it'll relax everybody.
Here's the pitch, taken for a strike to Walston. She's 2-for-3 in an RBI. Singles in the first and fifth, flied out to the center fielder in the third inning. One down, one on. That is O'Donnell there at first base. The pitch just missed outside. Vintage trying for the win, which would be their first in league play. Napa has a 3-4 record. Napa's won three games this season by the 10-run rule.
Yeah, when they're good, they're really good. Yeah. But as you can see today, when they struggle, they have a tendency
to ball's hit out to right field. And they put out there once again. Mo Groves comes through. Second player in a row to fly out. Napa's down to its last at-bat. Now, last batter, McKenna Walls, needs to get on to keep it going. Trailing 8-4 here in the seventh inning. O'Donnell, who was hit by the pitch ball, is the runner at first base. There are two outs, and the pitch is taken to strike. Walls is 0-for-2 and a walk. Walked her last time up, grounded out second to first, and popped up to the catcher. Here's the next delivery to her. Just missed outside. Haley Jarita is on deck with Abby Arata. Scheduled to follow if they get that far. Napa is trailing 8-4 here in the top of the seventh inning, their last at bat. Pitch is taken for ball two. Runner O'Donnell not taking any chances there, even though she's got some speed. When you're down by four runs.
Yeah, you don't want to make an out on the bases at this point. You want to get as many base runners as you can on base.
Sierra Yeager delivers, and the ball is hit foul, goes out of play. Boy, the battery combination of Sierra to Sierra has done really well.
Yeah,
the
done
Sierra game on the mound is C-I-E-R-R-A. The Sierra catching is S-I-E-R-R-A. They both have been superb today. Sierra Yeager, the sophomore, pitches and misses. So that makes it a full count now to Walls. Let's find out what happens.
Actually, Mila Valentine in hitting for Walls. She came in, if you remember right.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Defensive.
That's Valentine there. The ball is hit foul. Goes down foul territory past first base. Morgan Hernandez, the first baseman. Allie Warren, the second baseman. Cassidy Schweizer, the shortstop. Jacqueline Perez at third. Taylor Brandt, Jordan Allen, and Mo Groves in the outfield, left to right. On the mound, Yeager delivers. Swing, and the ball just ticked foul to the backstop.
Put together good at bat, fighting, you know. A lot of competition right here between the pitcher and hitter at this point. And Mila's doing a good job of fouling off some pitches.
Napa's had 10 hits in the ball game. Here's the pitch, up high, ball four. So Mila has walked with O'Donnell moving on down to second base. Jarita, the batter, she's the shortstop. Had a fairly good average coming in at 279. By most counts, that would be real good, but the top of the batting order for Napa's had just excellent batting averages.
Yeah, I mean, pretty phenomenal batting average. I think that, you know, this is a good hitting team throughout the lineup, and they're like anybody else. As I watched them play a lot this year, they have their ups and downs, but they do a pretty good job, fairly good job of it making adjustments. And again, that makes it even more impressive what Sierra Yeager's doing today against that lineup.
The ball is hit toward right field. Mo Groves going back, getting under it, and makes the put out, and that's the game as Jarita flies out. And in that seventh inning, Mo Groves had all three putouts out in right field, if you can imagine that. So in the inning, no runs, no hits, no errors. There was a hit batsman and a walk, and two runners left on. Napa left 10 runners on the base paths this afternoon.
Yeah, not a lot of hits with runners in scoring position there. You know, I really think that the bottom line for Napa was just their poor defensive play. They made a lot of mistakes in the field and gave Vintage more opportunities to drive in runs and score runs on some of those mistakes that they made.
Well, the Crushers had 13 hits, as we mentioned. Napa came up with 10 hits in the game. Napa, had three errors. Vintage had two errors in the game. And Vintage left 9 runners stranded on the base pass. But the big win in big game. That's really what it's all about.
Really big win for Vintage, who, you know, they got some young players on their team. And to get their first win of the year against Napa, it's got to be just in a little bit extra special for them.
Yeah. And getting a win in league play, that's their first MEL victory of the season.
Yep. And like I said, against their crosstown rival.
Right.
Who, if you were a betting man, you came in this game and probably put your money on Napa to win. But, again, anything happens in these big games. And you got to give Vintage a lot of credit for the things that they did. You know, Taylor Brandt played a great game out in left field, fighting the sun, making running catches to her left, and moving up. And
just played battling
solid,
the sun.
Solid game out there.
Yeah, we talked about Mo Groves making all three putouts there in that seventh inning. But earlier in the game, Brandt was battling the sun, making those catches.
And then you really have to tip your hat to the battery, the two Sierras, you know, and what they did against that lineup. We mentioned it, you know, they got some amazing hitters in that lineup. And those two, Sierra Yeager, Sierra Crocker, did an amazing job of holding them down.
Be back in a moment with our wrap-up, and I'm going to ask Troy Mott if he wants to select a player of the game. That's something we had done during his football seasons, and we'll put him on the spot and see what he comes up with in that regard. The final here at the Crusher Field at Vintage High School in Napa, California, in big game softball, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 8 and Napa High 4.
This has been a KVON Sports presentation.